We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Wanted to talk to him.
Appreciate the love, big homie.
I don't think the Bears quarterback is going to be the low-hanging fruit. I don't think it was ever going to be Carson Wentz. I don't think it's going to be Alex Smith. It's not going to be Mitch. It's not going to be Foles. I think there's going to be something that shocks us in the way that J.J. Watt going to the Arizona Cardinals shocked us. I don't think people are tweeting about it. I think it could be something insane.
Kyle Brandt on Good Morning Football, he says no low-hanging fruit. So all these names that we're talking about as the guys left standing, no. They're going to do something that shocks the world. They're going to bring somebody in here that could potentially shock the NFL. They're working on something. They are up there. They're putting together their packages, and they're going to do something spectacular, Mr. David.
Okay. Well, Kyle Brandt's a Bears fan, and I think that when you look at this situation, that history can be an indicator. And history says that, yeah, Ryan Pace may swing big, and he traded for Khalil Mack, who fell into his lap, and he drafted Mitch Trubisky, moved up. And there are a lot of things that you could classify as bold. He may want to be bold this offseason, but tell me how that's going to happen and produce Russell Wilson. Tell me how it's going to happen and it's going to produce Deshaun Watson. I think when fans, and I'm going to be respectful here, I think fans are influenced by emotion when they're talking about what to expect from the Bears front office. And that emotion sometimes gets in the way of the information, which would persuade me to think that that's far-fetched to expect as the likely result of this offseason.
I think the problem here is that, you know, while you want to believe, Kyle Brandt, that the Bears are going to shock the world, do they have enough to really pull off the shock? And when we start talking about the other teams that want to shock the world, what makes you think the Bears are going to pay more than anybody else?
Mike Mulligan and David Hall, taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Okay, let's go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. It is a glorious and wondrous Friday. It is the 5th of March. We're well into March. We're countdown to the big Mulligan birthdays. We are heading towards St. Patrick's Day. There's so much in front of us, David. How you holding?
Cannot wait. Good morning, Molly. Happy Friday. We made it to the end of this week. It's been a fun week. It's been a lot of entertainment, a lot of excitement. And up until last night, it was fun to watch that Blackhawks game. I'm still reeling a little bit to that ending. Oh, my gosh. How often do you see that happen in a hockey game? I know March is all about buzzer beaters, but usually not on the ice.
Yeah, 0.1 seconds left. And, you know, the Hawks played a great game. They got a two-goal lead. They won the they had a draw in the first period. They won the second period. They got the two-goal lead. They give it up in the third period. They go to overtime, and it's heartbreak. And I think a couple of things. I understand how embittered and horrible that was and how bad the ending was.
But, horrible.
But think about it. That's the team that was scoring five goals on them to start the season. That's the team that was slapping them around when they were the five-goal surrender team. And it's a different world now. I thought they played pretty well. I really thought that was going to be kind of a statement game for them, the way they took the lead in that game. And yet, man, I mean, what a heartbreaker. I'll be very curious to see how they respond from that.
I think that's a good point because they come back at it tonight. It's great that you see the back-to-back, so this is the fun part, especially when a game ends like that. But there you were watching, and I'm getting ready for the shootout. I'm getting ready for, okay, who's going to go what in what order, and, okay, was DeBrincat going to score tonight? And you think all these things are possible. Then Victor Hedman's he's got the puck, and as they said afterward, you could almost – sense everybody yelling to him, shoot the puck. It was like every youth hockey game you've ever been to. Shoot the puck. And then he shoots the puck and it kind of, I think it was a deflection off Kalarn's stick. I think it was, and there was a screen with Lankinen. Anyway, bottom line, his back of the net, and the Hawks, after leading 2-0 and looking like, okay, this is a statement game. They lose 3-2 in overtime. They get a point, but they could have had two. You still feel good about the direction because that is a fast team. That's a young, fast, skilled team.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch tonight, and it's fun to see them improving, and they've got to get over this hump. They've got to beat these good teams now. That's what we're waiting to see. Their record was unbelievably gaudy if you consider that they went 0-3-1 while giving up 5 goals in the first 4 games of the season. Since then, they've been a different team, and even getting the point out of that game yesterday is better than nothing, although you should have won the game, let's be honest about it. So we'll see. We'll see how they bounce back. I think it's really difficult to play teams 2 times in a row because the adjustments become very interesting.
Yeah, the NHL becomes the Missouri Valley Conference. As we talked to Porter Moser, you have to make these adjustments, and it is a good test of the coaching ability and also the players. You know, you have to be that was an intense game, and now typically you have a little bit of a time lag and leeway. No, they get back on the ice, and I think probably players like that. It probably appeals to the way they you know, when they how they grew up and they played back-to-back, and it was no big thing, but this is the NHL. So I'm looking forward to seeing how, if there's any carryover, because this was an even game for a long time. And those are the defending champs. I mean, this is a step up in class for the Blackhawks. And yeah, right. Yes, it's in the division, but boy, it's so it was an encouraging loss. You could have those. You don't want to have moral victories, but or an encouraging losses. I think they could come back tonight. They win a game, last night is just a memory.
The Bulls, of course, on the All-Star break. Zach LaVine, drafted by Team Durant for the All-Star game. He was the 7th of the 14 reserves off the board. So there's nothing embarrassing about being the 7th guy on the playground that's picked if there's 14 guys getting picked. You hate when you're the last guy and they're arguing over who has to take you. That hasn't happened to me, but no, I'm sure
never.
That must be
depressing. Doesn't sound like you're speaking from personal experience at all.
Well, I'm just saying I was the guy that was trying to, well, all right, we'll take him. It's just an awful way to, there was always one kid that just couldn't even, you know, dribble. I don't know. David, I was in college and we used to play basketball every day. I was in Rome and we played on this clay court. It was weird. So you'd come in and your shirt, your hands, you'd have, you know, kind of this red all over. So it was a must shower game. Anyways, this guy came out and wanted to play. And we had like a running game, basically the same guys every day. And we're like, yeah, okay. So, you know, he comes into the game, gets the ball, like runs 3 steps, tries to dribble it and throws the ball. I honest to God, I laughed. I thought he was joking. Turns out the guy had never played basketball before, and he wanted to learn how to play basketball. And everybody just stood there. Like, we were, you know, we were elbowing each other in the face, and it was like a bloody mess, these games. And it was very intense because we had this one guy that would never, ever call a foul, no matter what.
How old was somebody who had never played basketball before?
I'm guessing 20.
Okay, and 19, he was, 20, but he grew up 20? In France, right?
Listen, it was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. And so, and like, we had to tell the guy, hey, listen, why don't you go on the side and like practice some of these skills on an imaginary hoop, because you're killing us. You know, we can't have a game if you're going to travel every time you get the ball. It was the weirdest thing. I've never seen before anyone that had never played basketball.
Well, I grew up in Indiana, Molly.
Well,
I mean,
you don't
you
know
get your
anyone.
Driver's license, yeah. They throw you some gym shoes. I mean, you don't grow up without being around and exposed to basketball on a pretty regular basis and it being reinforced early on. You're in first grade and you're going to your high school sectional Friday night, which is, by the way, tonight in the state of Indiana. And that's a big deal. That's a big deal. And it, you know, Hoosiers came out when I was in high school, so I would imagine that after that it was mandatory viewing for every third grader in the state. So you learn quickly. So that's a foreign concept, literally, to me, that you would grow up and not know how to play basketball, not learn how to play it.
Strangest thing I've ever seen. But anyway, the guy would have been picked last every time, no matter what. And the Bulls, the Bulls. Here's the big news with the Bulls, and I love this. Our buddy Shams Charania with The Athletic and Stadium, he reported that they have looked into Andre Drummond. Andre Drummond is apparently going to be available. There's problems with the money, and nobody can figure out how this is going to happen. But the Cavs are going to get rid of him. The Bulls checking in, it speaks to me that they have some ambition with the Bulls, even though are they currently 10th? I mean, they go from 6th to 10th. The whole thing is a block of teams. They want to be in the playoffs, David.
You don't look at that salary, and you don't look at what he has to offer, something that you don't have currently, or that's something you'd like to get better at, the post defense, interior depth, those kinds of things. You don't do that unless you're serious about this season and you're not looking beyond, because maybe it's a salary swap. We'll talk about some of the realities and ramifications later, but that's an expensive, you know, experiment if you want to take on that contract. And how do you do that without getting rid of, you know, say Otto Porter Jr.'s? We'll wait and see. But yeah, that was a surprise. Did not expect to see that. The NBA buyout market, though, Mo, you have been around the league longer than I have, but how would you explain that to a novice fan, or even somebody who likes the NBA, how this buyout stuff works? Because the rhyme and reason to it, you're seeing big names being bought out or rumored to be bought out. Blake Griffin's going to be on the street here pretty soon, available to sign with whoever. When did this become such a trend that every year you start to anticipate it?
I think it's, you know, people give contracts that are kind of undeserved and are given on reputation or given with an ambition that is never going to be realized by a team. And then they realize, okay, now what are we going to do with this guy? But you're right. The league has gotten crazy with these kind of giant contracts. It's all kind of monopoly money, make-believe stuff, but it's all basically, you just need an accounting firm. Every team needs like forensic accounting to go through and figure out who can play and who can't, how you move them and who has to stay. It's absolute madness. I think it happens in a lot of different sports where the value of a position or the value of a player, the value of the player doesn't match the value of the position. So you go out and you say, we got to get a corner. So you overpay for this guy. And then you got to figure out how am I going to live with that contract? It's just it's sometimes you think of a salary cap in terms of what the position is worth, not what the player is worth. I think that's how you get in trouble.
Yeah, and I think that so you end up with names of players that look like they're stars becoming available, but if they were truly playing like the stars that they used to be, they wouldn't be bought out. So
that's right.
Blake Griffin, you know, being available doesn't necessarily mean that you're getting the kind of player you think you are from a fan base perspective. I just wonder, that's what makes it hard to anticipate. We talk about Andre Drummond. I didn't expect to be, you know, debating whether or not it made sense for the Bulls to pursue him. Who else is going to pop loose throughout the, you know, between now and the end of the season? Could somebody like that appeal to them? It's just hard to keep track of because the NBA ends up buying out more regularly, where in the NFL, I think we're seeing, as we are talking about with the Bears yesterday, restructuring and trying to take these huge contracts that used to be hard to relate to with the monopoly money and kind of reallocating how or restructuring how you're going to pay these guys and when they're getting their money.
Ben Roethlisberger restructured to the tune of like $5 million, which doesn't sound like a lot in the NFL business, but it is an insane amount of money. It's more money than most of us will ever see in our lifetime. And it's just a little paperwork.
Rooney family, thank you for employing me for all these years. Here's $5 million back because I want to be your quarterback in 2021. That's essentially what he's saying, isn't it?
Yeah. You know what's interesting about him is if you watch his career and you hear all the people around him talk, he's a guy that doesn't really – I mean, he's the rarest of all player the guy that takes an off season and really is just off. He doesn't keep in shape. He doesn't really
shave.
It's not like Tom Brady, where his entire life is devoted to trying to make sure he doesn't gain a half an ounce of anything, because he's got to stay as light on his feet because he's getting older and he's working on everything. This is a guy that, you know, hey, okay, I'll have 15 beers in the off season. I don't care. And that unfortunately wears on him toward the end of seasons.
Tom Brady woke up the Monday after the Super Bowl thinking about the next year's Super Bowl. Ben Roethlisberger woke up after the Super Bowl on that Monday at 1:30 in the afternoon. So, you know, that's kind of the difference between these guys. Just sort of the approach is entirely in contrast. But you know what, Mully? You look at Ben Roethlisberger, he's had a pretty successful career, and he's one of those guys that I think has lasted. He's lasted longer than I thought he would be, and he's probably even been better than I projected him to be when he was coming out of Miami of Ohio.
He still gets $14 million this year, even with giving back the five. I'm just saying, it at some point, maybe your offseason's worth it. I don't know. But he likes being the Steelers quarterback, so he gets to stay. All right, we got tons of stuff. I mean, there's so much good baseball stuff to talk about, both sides of town. Tony La Russa, the blight continues, can't get that first win. Meanwhile, the Cubs dominate the Dodgers. Statement game.
World Series champions. The Cubs made them look like they were, in spring training.
Yeah, they're all in spring training. Okay. But we'll talk about it. We'll talk about some of the individual players. There's tons to get into. We're going to do that next with the 5 at 5. We'll bring in Dustin William Rhodes. We'll have to explain that someday. It's Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score.
This is the Mully and Hall Morning Show, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports morning show, period. Mornings 5 to 9. Listen on your mobile device through the radio.com app and always on the radio at 670 the Score. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
What do you make of Allen Robinson saying,
"I can't want to be in Chicago more than they want to have me in Chicago"?
Robinson figures he'd fit in with 90% of schemes and could sign a long-term deal with 31 other teams. Does he sound like a guy willing to play under the franchise tag?
He certainly sounds reluctant, doesn't he? And unfortunately, it's not under his control. But when he says he feels like he can get a long-term deal with 31 other teams, he means the one team that can control his rights won't give him the long-term deal, or at least not the one he wants. And I love that comment that he can't want to be here more than they want him here, because they can say all they want about how much they love him and how much they want him, but the fact is they're not giving him what he wants and they're not showing him the love. So I think he'll end up playing under a franchise tag, quite frankly, because a lot of his push on this has been about the fact that he doesn't want to play under the franchise tag. And that would indicate there's a real disconnect in terms of the long-term deal he's after. So I'm thinking increasingly, the more I hear him talk, the more I think it's a one-year franchise tag contract right now.
We're hearing him talk a lot, Mully. We're hearing him go on various platforms. Chris Collinsworth with the podcast, that's where we heard the latest from Allen Robinson. That was part of his conversation. The other part that's drawn some attention and raising some eyebrows was his social media activity. He went on, and you know, you can't do anything on Twitter these days without it causing a little bit of a stir, but he was liking tweets linking him to the Jets, one kind of having him in a Jets uniform and talking about on the podcast how much he liked New York. And that kind of makes Bears fans kind of shudder a little bit at the thought of him getting away for nothing. There's been all sorts of rumors about signing trades. Let's wait and see. I think both things can be true here. You'd like to get him obviously signed to a long-term contract extension. He's your best offensive player. He means a lot to the community and the organization. At the same time, if you are as far apart as it seems as they are in terms of compensation and the size of that package, the Bears have this at their disposal. This was collectively bargained. Nobody likes it, but if I'm Ryan Pace, I don't know that I would have given in by now without having to see where this heads. And you still have a deadline. You still have until March 9th. Use it to your advantage, as it's a tool. It's there for a reason. So let's wait and see. I get what the Bears are doing. I think Allen Robinson is maybe hurt by some of this, maybe wants to feel wanted a little bit more than he indicates. And we know that his buddy Cordero Patterson wants the same thing, because he went on Twitter and posted a photo of them together and basically asking the question about why the Bears haven't signed me. And Allen Robinson wonder why Chicago hasn't signed us yet. And then he has the big eyeballs there. So stay tuned. Allen Robinson has a lot to say. We'll see if it means anything in the context of their negotiations.
I know plenty of people that are part of unions that they don't want to be a part of. But to David's point, it was collectively bargained. There's going to be another one coming up. Get this out of the way. If it's so bad, if it's so terrible to be paid top five at your position, I don't get that. If it's so bad to be paid top five at your position, then get rid of it. Okay, I get it. You don't get the huge signing bonus when they do this. I understand. But again, to David's point, the players agreed to this. I can't blame ownership. I can't blame the general manager. I can't blame the plan to do this. I mean, again, I don't want to hear about tagging the kicker. That I don't want to hear about. But I'm all about tagging a wide receiver. I'm all about tagging an offensive lineman. I wish the Bears had an offensive lineman that was worth tagging, right? So, listen, I get it. I get the deadline. This story is getting, like, exhausting, because the only thing that matters right now is somebody has to throw him the ball. And if the Bears don't know who's going to throw him the ball, why would you give him some huge contract? I mean, maybe this is the guy. You know, you just brought up, David, about him liking social media, connecting him to the Jets. Would there be a way, if Sam Darnold is who the Bears are in love with, could you trade for Sam Darnold with that chip? Allen Robinson and maybe a draft pick go to the Jets and the Bears get back Sam. Would that be something to consider?
If you get Sam Darnold, you kind of need Allen Robinson to make Sam Darnold worth having. Right?
Potentially, I guess. But then all of a sudden, at 20, if all these quarterbacks are going in the top 10 or the top 15, some of these wide receivers are going to get pushed down. So maybe then at 20, you're going wide receiver. And listen, Mooney was pretty good. I'm not saying he's Allen Robinson, but he was a lot better than I think any of us thought he was going to be. I mean, Mooney was not on my radar as a breakout player for the Bears coming into last season.
Okay, so you trust him. Who else do you trust? Do you trust Anthony Miller? Do you trust Wims?
I mean, no.
Come on.
No.
No one does.
Nope.
That's a real question.
Former Bear Kyle Long was the latest to weigh in that he believes the Bears will pull off a blockbuster deal for a quarterback this offseason. Why do you think that has become such a trendy belief among NFL media types? And have the suggestions been strong enough to sway your opinion and agree something big is coming?
Well, I think Kyle Long is a very entertaining Twitter follow, and I think he's a very engaged guy, and he says some things about the Bears. He's emotionally invested. He was a Bear for a while, so he does have a lot to say. I don't know if he has any, you know, secret information that he's being fed, because I don't know that he has those kinds of sources within the Bears administration, and I don't think it ended like that. But he does seem to have this feeling that we've heard from other people, whether it was Kyle Brandt yesterday on Good Morning Football, and other people seem to have this feeling that something big is going to happen. But as we talked about yesterday, I don't know if this feeling is anything more than that. I think you can't will something to be true. So because you have a feeling that Ryan Pace is due for some to make a good move, because the Bears never have had a quarterback, so that has to change soon. Because Russell Wilson made them one of the four teams he would approve a trade to, and Deshaun Watson wants out of Texas. I don't know if all those things together, you know, mean anything more than, you know, yeah, the Bears are desperate, and desperation, it forces them to explore these possibilities. But I don't know that it brings them any closer to making them, you know, a reality. So I enjoy Kyle Long's analysis and his sense of humor on social media. But I don't know where this momentum is coming from, other than people wanting something to be true. But there is a difference, as we pointed out yesterday, between the emotion that you feel in wanting the Bears to get the quarterback finally and get their guy, and the information that informs you and tells you whether or not that's realistic. And right now, it just doesn't seem very realistic.
It's, I think it comes down, you know, put your logic pants on, right? So the Bears, they've got this general manager that made a few errors here, gave the third contract to Jay Cutler, brought in Mike Glennon, drafted Mitch Trubisky, and traded for Nick Foles. And none of these things work. They've been trying. They've been taking stab after stab after stab. And somehow he's brought back for a seventh year. And somehow everyone's saying, well, you know, it's the quarterback. You know, everything's on the table. So when you think of that, whether it's true or not, the idea is if he doesn't fix the Bears, this is his last chance. If he doesn't fix the Bears' quarterback position, he won't fix the Bears. Ergo, therefore, he's got to make the bold, crazy move. If you were him, wouldn't you give up anything to try to get one of those quarterbacks you mentioned in here? He's got to make the big, bold move because his job's on the line. So people look at it that way, and they don't look at the market or what the Bears have or how they're going to manage this. And again, you can give up picks up to 3 years out. So you can give up all your picks this year, all your picks next year, all your picks the year after that. Not a good idea to give up all your picks in three different drafts, but you do have all that firepower. And then, you know, if a team wants Roquan, okay, he's our best young player. You take him if we get quarterback. And I think it's more people looking at it logically. They have to make a move. He's been left in charge to make a move. He's got to do it. And every time they talk, everything's on the table. We're going to give up Ted Phillips if we have to in a deal. So it's a logic pants issue to me.
But before we get to Dustin, Mully, I have to make this one comment. Definitely a great use of the underrated device, Ergo. Okay? Ergo is a term that is totally underutilized in the English language, and you used it correctly. It was just perfectly used there, so I needed to point that out before we move any further.
Thank you, David. God bless.
Well, let's keep going with the definition of that word and how do we spell it?
ERGO. It's not like the movie. It's ERGO, and it kind of means consequently, right? Or therefore.
Yes.
And
yes,
it's a Latin derivative. So it's definitely, Mully used it in the exact way you're supposed to use it. Congratulations.
Well, I look forward to transition for a couple of reasons, and maybe we can use that with Bernstein, and you guys could all, you know, have a big chuckle about Ergo. Here's the deal. Like, okay, I mean, what Kyle said makes sense. Like, Pace and Nagy's backs are against the wall. I'm not sure I like the empty out your magazine analogy. I don't know that that was the greatest way to describe this, but okay, that's fine. But we all, again, my mom knows that the Bears have an issue at quarterback. Okay. My mother-in-law knows that the Bears have an issue at quarterback. My sister-in-law knows, but what's the answer? You know, Kyle Long is an analyst for the CBS Sports Network and does stuff for their online stuff, and I think he'll be part of the big show on good old Channel 2 at 11 o'clock Central before the games, or maybe he'll be in a booth. Give me a name, give me a scenario. Who's the guy? Who is Kyle Long's guy? And again, I know we all want Deshaun Watson, I get it, okay, but let's be, again, let's get realistic as Dave Wannstedt would say, you can't handle the truth, or dreaming, right? Dream on. Give me some names. Okay, yeah, they're going to make a splash. Define a splash. Again, get past Watson. Maybe get past Wilson. Based on what's left, who's the splashiest of those that are left? Is it one of the two Raider quarterbacks? Are you going to trade three first-round picks for one of those two Raider quarterbacks?
No.
I mean, that's well, lunacy.
Not for Mariota,
I mean, that's
for
just
sure.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Right, right. So I just want to know. I mean, I agree with what Kyle Long said and what others have said, but I want a name. I always want a name. We know what the problem is. Tell me what the answer is. And again, my answer to this is, when this thing stops spinning around, let's see who's left, and then let's go get a guy.
Excellent question.
I wore my logic pants to work today, ergo, I will move on to the next question. White
well
Sox,
played, Ray.
Thank you. Got some well points played. For that. White Sox starter Lance Lynn struck out 2 in 3 scoreless innings, hit 95 miles per hour on the radar gun, and wanted to go another inning because he didn't feel he threw enough pitches. Is he going to be the workhorse this team traded for? Do you expect him to lead the team in innings pitched?
Yes, he's going to be the workhorse that they traded for, and yes, I expect him to lead them in innings pitched. And I think there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, he's a big horse of a guy that can handle it. I know that the ramp up last year didn't count and all that stuff, but he's got history of being able to go. The other thing is he's on a 1-year deal. Okay, he's effectively a rental player. So if you're going to throw someone's arm off, and I'm not suggesting that's the plan, but I don't think they're worried about what happens after this season. They are in win-now mode. They need to eat innings. They brought this guy in, the old hoss, and he's going to be fireballing and fireballing and fireballing. And that's what they're going to do with him. They are not going to be worried about, well, now be careful. You know, he didn't pitch enough innings last year. You don't want to strain his arm. Hey, why don't you start the doubleheader? I think they're just going to have him pitch and pitch and pitch. And I worry about Keuchel. I worry, you know, he did suffer the back problem at the end of the year. And when you think about that, maybe Rick Renteria is still here. Probably not, but if Keuchel could go in a couple of those starts, maybe you didn't have the big losing streak. Maybe you managed to do something better and be in a better position going into the playoffs. I don't know, but it seemed like that really hurt them, and that worries me with him. And as far as Giolito is concerned, he is a guy that they've got to keep close watch on. And I think he's, you know, what was the Zips projection? 180 innings. That's a lot. And I think if he can do that, that's fantastic. But I really believe that you can get more out of Lance Lynn because, again, he's done it before, and you need him to do it, and you don't care about the future.
And he's got a relationship with Tony La Russa that goes back to his rookie year when they won a championship together. And I do think that while it didn't matter on his first start in the early March because he wanted to stay an extra inning, I do think that he will be given the benefit of the doubt more often than not because of that relationship. I think La Russa is going to be one of those managers that maybe goes by the gut a little bit more, observational analytics, if you will. So that is in Lance Lynn's favor. So is history. You know, so is history, not just that history with La Russa, but in 2019, the last full season that was played, he set a career high for innings pitched. I think it was 208. Last year in the shortened season, he led the league with 84 innings. No other starter went more. He's a hoss. He's a big guy, as he pointed out. He's the guy, his mentality is he wants to be the opener and the closer. So he wants to be in there as much as humanly possible. That's the guy you want, whether he lines up as your third starter or your ace. I think that he is going to be somebody that defines and embodies what dependability is at the major league level. That's exciting for the White Sox. You're going to have a different approach with him because of his contract situation. That's a really good point, Molly. But also just based on the fact that he has earned the benefit of the doubt. You're not worried about him in the way that you might be, in all fairness, you know, a Michael Kopech, a Carlos Rodon,
sure,
guys whose arms aren't as tried and true as a guy like Lance Lynn. So
I love that he didn't want to come out of the game yesterday. I liked his, all the stuff that he had. He was sharp, and that's what you thought you were going to get when you made the trade. And I am looking forward to a strong season from Lance Lynn.
Yeah, me too. Strong season from Lance Lynn. I mean, it was 2 years ago, Mully, 2.5 years ago. The Sox wanted to trade for the guy. He's been on their radar for quite some time. And the good news is they didn't give up any assets other than money to get the guy. So, listen, I think spring training pitches to a certain point are a waste of time. You want to keep the good stuff for when you're throwing at 35th and Shields or somewhere else if you're starting on the road. I mean, listen, I can't wait to see that guy and Michael Kopech sweat mayonnaise over there at the Cell or whatever they call it, Guaranteed Rate Field. I mean, this is a guy that just is going to sweat and work and sweat and work and sweat and work. And, you know, Chicago's the type of city that loves a guy that works and sweats. Absolutely. So
that's Latin too, right, Dustin? Sweat mayonnaise, that has a Latin derivative as well, correct?
Let's see if Ray can work that into a sentence. I don't know.
Dustin, I've got to tell you, I was covering the NBA, and I believe it was Milwaukee. Moses Malone was playing for Milwaukee. And he finished the game, and you're in the post game, and Moses was still sweating. He took a shower and came out. He dried himself and started sweating again. You've never seen a sweatier guy. I thought to myself, like, do you have to follow him on the court with a bucket? I've never seen a man sweat as profusely as Moses Malone. He's your guy. You should get on the Moses Malone bandwagon. One of the great players in league history, by the way.
Moses Malone, Pat Ewing, when he was at Georgetown, he used to wear that gray undershirt and it was literally sopping wet before the tip-off. And then the other night, the Bulls were playing the Pelicans. Zion came out of the game, and they did like a zoom-in on him. I was watching the game with both my kids. And my little Zion. Like, ew!
I can see that.
Why is that guy sweating like that?
Yeah,
he should be putting deodorant on his face so he wouldn't sweat like that.
He shot after the game, too. He didn't stop sweating.
Yeah, he was so upset about missing the free throws.
That's right.
There are coaches who are profuse sweaters, too. We have to come up with our all-coaching sweaters team. Because there's some guys that can really go through a couple of shirts in a game.
The towel, John Thompson. Everyone was honoring him with the towel. Why wouldn't you?
That was pretty cool. That was cool.
That's a lot of questions.
ESPN reported that the Cubs and White Sox recently made a joint presentation to state and city officials that proposed allowing 30% capacity at both of the team's ballparks beginning opening day. That would be roughly 12,000 fans per game at Wrigley and Guaranteed Rate Fields, sitting in socially distant seats with mobile pay concessions. How do you expect the state and city to respond? And will what's happening around baseball affect those decisions? Would you anticipate every ticket sold for every game?
Well, I think there's a lot there, and this was something that we anticipated. I think it's something that you knew was coming. It is a little bit earlier than I thought when we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but I think when you look around not only Major League Baseball, but when you look around the country, there is this movement, and maybe some states are getting a little bit ahead of themselves. I guess that's a judgment in each state by each governmental agency. But you could definitely see this being approved by opening day, and you could see 12,000 fans at Wrigley Field and Guaranteed Rate Field. And when you look around baseball, 15 teams right now have approved measures to allow fans in on a percentage basis. So there's going to be, you know, anywhere between 25% to 32% of capacity in most of these ballparks, around half the league. And that's just as we sit here this morning on March 5th. I anticipate that will go up. You know, you could have every team in the league approve something like that. And then you get to the second part of the question, which is, would every ticket be sold? I think probably yes. You know, I think there's a lot of anticipation, excitement. We see that. There's going to be some trepidation and anxiety as well. But I think the people that will go to these games are people that's less of a concern and maybe priority. So, you know, we don't need to get into this. They don't need to rush into any decision. I'm glad they're studying it. I'm glad they're trying to be safe and put safety first. That's the priority. But I would expect there to be fans on opening day based on what we saw yesterday and based on the direction this is headed.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you, David. I love the idea of that, and I hope that we continue to get the vaccine distributed. I don't know if you've been following some of this stuff, but there's real trouble brewing in Europe because they're not able to get enough of the vaccine. And in fact, Italy yesterday, I believe, blocked the export of vaccine to Australia because they don't have enough in Italy, and France is expected to follow suit. It's really a problem getting the vaccine. We obviously have elements of that problem here, but there is a lot more coming onto the market, and it's expected that we can get this up and running and moving faster than maybe we originally anticipated. So I think that's a big deal. I think that, you know, we're lucky to be Americans. I think that baseball has gotten the rubber stamp in other places. This sounds like a pretty well thought through and well designed plan, quite frankly. And I think that it will end up being approved. I think we will see fans as soon as opening day. And I think that they'll sell out on both sides of town. I think people are desperate for any kind of entertainment or any event to go to, and the whole outdoor aspect of it will appeal to a lot of people. And I would imagine that that it is a real possibility of getting people in the stands, and I think people will jump at it.
Yeah, listen, the best news is that this is realistic. It's going to at some point this baseball season, you will have the opportunity to attend a game if you so choose. That's the great news. If it's opening day, fantastic. If it's the 4th of July, fantastic. If it's May, fantastic. That's the good news. I think it would be a little bit irresponsible right now for the city and the state, based on what's going on currently, to put this at the top. I think this is down a couple of pegs based on some things going on, if you do care to watch the news. But what I'm excited about is that we will have the opportunity to go if we decide that that's what's best for us and our family. So this is good news. And yes, Molly, it is great to be an American.
Yeah, good question.
Our guy Sham Sharania of The Athletic and Stadium reported the Bulls recently checked in with Cleveland about center Andre Drummond. Should we consider the Bulls maybe actively trying to acquire talent, not just moving older veterans? What does that say about the centers currently on the roster and the team's ambition to make the playoffs?
Oh, I think speaks volumes about it. I think it speaks to the centers on the roster not being able to defend in the fashion in which you want, knowing that you can do better, I think, is the one way to describe it. And I think it says that this team really wants to make the playoffs. This team really wants to take a step forward. I think they got the coach to do that. I think they've got some talent to do that. And I like the idea. And it's a little bit, we haven't talked about it this way. We have approached this as, well, the Bulls, is this guy going to help you when you finally win the title? Maybe they should trade this guy. Maybe they should trade that guy. What could they get for this guy? People are looking for that guy. When the reality is, we should be looking at it the other way. How can they improve this roster? What do they need, and who is available? And, you know, I think it speaks, if I were Wendell Carter Jr. and I read this, I would be a little concerned that maybe they're not as sold on me as past administrations might have been. And that would make me play better, frankly. I think it's not just him. It's Gafford. They don't seem to buy into that. His minutes have decreased, obviously, partly because the other guy came back from injury. But I don't think they've got it at center. I don't think they have it at point guard, frankly. And I think I'd rather see a point guard than a center, but, you know, depending on the point guard. But it does speak to their ambition.
I think if you swap in a new point guard now or introduce one, it's going to potentially be more disruptive than if you get a center, a big body, and you put him in a position where you really lack quality depth. And you're right about Wendell Carter Jr. And I don't know that he needed this to this rumor or this pursuit, or they're entertaining this possibility to get the message. I think he gets it every time that they go with Thad Young down the stretch and he's sitting on the bench watching a 14-year veteran play the minutes that really he should be playing. And it's because, obviously, of the way they double-team Zach LaVine and need Thad Young's offense and all these things. But if Wendell Carter Jr. were more dependable defensively. Is that unfair? Maybe a little. But I think that you want him to take that next step, and certainly that at least has been something that has been exposed in recent weeks in this season, post defense. And so you see that with Joel Embiid, you see that with Jokic. Yeah, they're all stars, but I think the Bulls understand they need to shore up that part of it, and that's why they're having these conversations about a guy as in Drummond who's as expensive as he would be. It's a practical approach to winning, and I think what you heard the other day from Billy Donovan, when everybody is wanting to start planning a parade because they're 16 and 18 at the break, and he's like, "Wait, we still have a losing record." That's a very practical approach and way to look at it. And this, in going out and entertaining the idea of bringing in some post defense, a veteran who could help you this year now, if you could find a way to swap the salaries with an Otto Porter Jr., for instance, because $28 million is a lot of money. And that's a very, practical approach in the now. And I think that's what the Bulls want to do this year. So I think it's exciting to get behind.
Listen, I'm at the front of the line of the piling on Wendell Carter Jr. group. I mean, I'm the president of the club. But, the thing is, that those guys that we're talking about in the East that play the traditional five, they're really, really good. And the NBA has gone away from the traditional five, and we're seeing that. So if you're lucky enough to have a good, talented, old-school five that can move around, has great footwork. We got a couple of guys that are kind of clones of Olajuwon, right, who is an unbelievable big man, had unbelievable feet, had soft hands, could fade away, could also play the inside game, could play with his shoulders to the front of the basket, with his back to the basket, could do it all. And the other thing that's cool about some of these guys is they like to play defense more than they like to play offense. I believe it was Embiid I heard in an interview say, "I want to win the Defensive Player of the Year award more than I want to win the MVP." And I thought, wow. I mean, you do not hear that kind of thing very often. So while it is Wendell Carter's job to defend those guys, it is a very hard job. And in order to win in the East, the way it's set up right now, you do need that type of guy. You need that other body. So the Bulls need to run good bodies at these guys in the hopefully postseason. I mean, listen, it is crazy that we are in love with a team that's two games under 500, but the East is just not very good top to bottom. It's very soft, like me in the middle. It's not very good. There's no six packs going on in the East, and there's no six packs going on over here, except the wrong kind if you're into physical fitness. But yeah, it's good. They're ambitious. They want to do things. They're not just sitting around. And I agree with you, David. I think it's a great point. I think, swapping out the point guard would be more reckless than adding a big man. I don't think that plays into their hands. Now, I do think they probably need a better point guard unless in the offseason you're going to have Zach LaVine become that kind of point forward. I don't know that that's the best idea, but maybe, depending on who's available. But yeah, go ahead. Let's get a big man, Bulls. Let's go for it. Let's be competitive. And hopefully everybody gets a good rest over the All-Star break and they're ready to go when they come out on March 11th.
But did you guys see that Drummond, I know Dustin's a slave to metrics, but the metrics showed that last year he was the second worst defensive center for all the centers that played 40 or more games, according to NBA.com's numbers.
I
did not see that.
That position is no longer relevant in the NBA. Dustin, when you were describing Olajuwon, and I was thinking about his type of game, that unfortunately isn't valued anymore in the NBA. It just isn't. It's just when you think about the type of centers, there's not a lot of rim protectors, kind of what you're talking about. There aren't a lot of guys that it's not valued anymore. The game has turned so perimeter oriented that, and so many people are knocking down trays, that even some of those shots are leading to longer rebounds, and that is taking the big man out of the game as well. Number one, you don't shoot that shot, and number two, please God you don't, and number two, it's hard to rebound that shot. So it's the game has changed to the point where I don't know that there's great value in a center, which is one of the reasons why Drummond, that contract is crazy. The other thing is, I don't care about those metrics, David, because I think they reflect how bad that team was.
That's a great point. And it's upset. I don't want to overstate that number. It stood out to me because I watched the NBA. I know Andrew Drummond. I would never have guessed that he would have been ranked as low as he is ranked according to those metrics, because he gives you rebounding and he does give you a presence.
You just can't. You can't let Embiid get 50 points on you, right? So that's the thinking on this. You just can't let those games go because you don't have anybody that, you know, your guy is just kind of a couple inches shorter than he needs to be in order to be that dominant player.
What you're saying, Mully, is Embiid gets 50, Jokic gets 39, ergo you seek a big man.
Oh, look at you. That is wonderful. And Dustin, to one other point you made, I think the reason people love this team, and I think the reason that people are kind of into the Bulls, is because comparatively they're so much better than the hot garbage we've seen for the past couple of years. They are clearly coached better. They are clearly young and learning, and they have some veteran guys that know how to play that never even ranked getting on the court somehow a year ago. So I think that's really – it's the comparison isn't to the rest of the league. It's to the previous editions of the Bulls. Okay. No comment on that. 312-644-6.
Ray wants us to break. I'm trying to break.
Okay. Yeah, Ray's waving at us. For God's sake, I'm sorry. Yeah. All right. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We are Chicago's number one sports station. Chicago guys talking Chicago sports. Listen on your radio, your laptop, your mobile device, through the radio.com app, or tell your smart speaker to play 670 The Score on radio.com sports station.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.